Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
This is Chauncey Williams.
This is Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Man, end of March, right?
End of March, man. It's basketball crazy.
March, magic, March madness. It was a great weekend, man, for basketball.
For everybody, for high school.
Yeah.
College. I mean, the buzzer beater shots and just all type of play was great. Starting off with the high school area.
Yeah.
The boys, they just finished up. We got Grapids Christian. I'm glad they went down burning. So,
yeah, man. I watched that game against Clarkston.
All it took was a good point guard that can come off the screen. That's all it took.
What was his name? Lawyer?
I just know he's the next Scott Skiles.
He's going to state. He's a junior. He's a junior, man. Yep.
He looked like Scott Skiles to me. I tell you that. Come off the screen, pull it up like he's squatting. Look, he pull up on the jump shot like he was squatting.
It was pretty, man. The form, man. The follow through. The guy was a baller. I had never seen him, never heard of him. And
they tried to pack it in on him, but he was dribbling. He was like, I don't care about that. Y'all got to come guard this.
No, they couldn't. They couldn't handle him, man.
Couldn't handle him.
He had a couple guys on the wing that could, they could drop that three on him too.
And then they ran that double high post when one guy flashed down. They tried to double him in one play. He threw it right to the guy without even looking at him.
Not even looking at him, man. I was impressed. So
I was impressed.
I'm going to watch old Clarkston next year because he had some good teams. I thought in Class A this year.
Yeah, they did. U of D,
Jesuit.
Kalamazoo. Who Kalamazoo lose to?
Clarkston. No. Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids. Yeah, they also it was who else? Romulus.
Romulus. That was just. Yeah. Ooh, Clarkston. Good. Clarkston took them out, man.
They took out some good teams.
Yes, they did. I was impressed.
Because Romulus took out U of D Jesuit. UD Jesse took out Cass.
Yep.
Man, it was some good teams on the other side.
It was some good teams.
Good teams on this side,
man.
Too, because West Ottawa.
Yeah.
Muskegon being 23-0.
Yeah, man, we just had that bad night. You know, that same thing happened to Kalamazoo Central in the Grand Rapids Christian game.
That's right.
At fourth quarter, man, it was 30-34.
I know. I was following it on the radio, and I was like, let me go in the store. I came out. They're like, it's 59-30 something. I was like, oh, they only scored 9 points?
They couldn't hit a basket in the fourth quarter, man. And everything that Kalamazoo threw, Grand Rapids Christian threw at the basket went in. That made the difference, man. Yep. Plus, the fouls were definitely out of balance. Yeah, they had like 18 fouls in the second quarter. I mean, the second half is like,
they got that boy there and made him lose.
Yeah, Mr. Basketball going to Michigan.
Yeah.
Xavier going to state. Like I said, the other young guy there from Clarkson, he's committed to state. Izzo and B-Line was at the game. Yeah. He was at the final, sitting together.
I saw it on TV.
They
were sitting together?
Yeah. Yeah, man. You know, it's a job. Them guys, they're competitive. But at the end of the day, they're out there trying to evaluate talent and keep them paychecks coming to their household.
You're right. And that's their job. Yeah, keep them million-dollar paychecks coming in.
That's it. Yeah, because they're millionaires, no doubt.
Yeah.
And then the Carolina, North Carolina, Kentucky game. Whew.
He got
probably
fouled.
The best Monk game I watched all
guard,
year, man.
The guard got fouled at the end.
Yeah, he did. They didn't call it.
They didn't call it.
They didn't call it. They let him play on.
Yep.
And normally when you get into a game like that, the good referees try to disappear and let it get played out on the court.
That's right. That's why they whistle.
They was shooting out. It was a shootout.
Yeah, it was. Come down that hoop, man. That was fun.
That was a fun game to watch.
Yep.
And I don't know who keeps a bracket out there. But I'm willing to bet that everybody's bracket
is done.
Blew up.
Yeah. Nobody has South Carolina. The defense South Carolina play?
Yeah.
That's some defense.
Oregon. Gonzaga. North Carolina. Final four.
North Carolina can win it all.
Yeah.
Roy Williams, I sent him in a Nike clinic, right? He's a country bumpkin.
Okay.
I'm just going to tell you like that. He's a straight up country dude. But he the most humblest country dude out.
He acts like it, man. He really does.
Y'all looking at a girls basketball coach. He coached girls basketball.
That's how he got his break in the coaching.
Yeah. You know, he went to North Carolina and all that. But when he went back to the hood, he said, I'm a gym teacher, and girls basketball coach.
Okay.
And he said, I was a losing girls basketball coach. He said, I lost, and I lost big. But he said, you know what? I just kept on working, and I got back with Dean, working the camps. Then my teams got better. My girls' teams got better. I ended up winning. Then I came back. He said, want to come over to boys? I came back, working, meeting Michael and them, hanging around, learning the game. He said, you know what I learned in basketball? He said, I got this from Dean Smith. He said, this the best play for anybody at the camp. This is the play I'm going to give you that nobody can stop. Right?
Okay.
Wow, I was like, wow.
Oh, yeah, everybody perked up now.
Yeah, everybody looking at it like, this is a couple years ago. We was in Wisconsin Dells. And he looking like, he said, all right, come on here, point guard, dribble up. He said, pass to the left, to the wing. The wing come up, right?
Okay.
Then he said, come on, post player.
He come up.
Set the screen for this one.
For the guard, right? Okay.
Then the other foe, after he set the screen, he rolled down for the other guard. He said, now throw the lob. He said, everything else left to be recruiting.
Okay. I can't argue with that. That sounds pretty simple.
That's the best play you can have. And he say, offense? He said, I run an offense where I recruit all Americans. Everybody average 30.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have plays. He said, I have first option, shoot it. Second option, shoot it. Third option, shoot it. Fourth option, shoot it. Fifth option, shoot it.
That's the object of the game, is to shoot the ball. Play defense and shoot the ball.
He say, we score. That's what we do. If you can score with us, you can play with us. If you can't, get ready to get blown up.
Okay.
That's his philosophy.
I think that's pretty a sound philosophy, man. When you going to recruit these guys that are like, it's a McDonald's All-Americans.
I'm not going to let them wait like Coach K. I'm putting them out there.
Nope. If he can play in my system.
He going to play.
He coming on the board right now as the freshman. And if he's a one-and-doner, then he's a one-and-doner.
That's how he talk. He's a humble guy. And he was cool to be around. And he's just seeing that mindset. And he right back in the championship again.
Yeah.
So he lost last year. He's like, I'm back.
You bet.
Because of what I recruit. And I bring it on, and I run a system that all kids like. Who wouldn't like that?
Tell him to shoot the ball?
Yeah.
Yeah, coach, I want to shoot it.
He showed us a secondary fast break, right? Throw the ball in, right? Guard, get it up. Get it up court again. And you're looking for the first shot available. If it's a three, layup, whatever it is, take it. And we live with that.
Okay. I like
what?
It, man.
What? You live with that?
Said, yeah. You can't overcoach. See, that's overcoach. Oh, set it up. Run the play.
So I got to arguing with him, right? Like, you know, get to talk to him afterward. I said, I'm from Michigan State. He said, oh. He said, we own y'all. I was like,
he
oh, man.
He told the truth.
He said, we always blow y'all out. I was like, man, that's sad. He said, Thomas is on my friend. But he said, if you get Thomas in a close game, he'll outcoach himself. I was like, whoa.
From one coach to another.
He said he will outcoach himself. And he said, I learned that from Dean Katie. They coached at Purdue.
Right. And so Gene was there.
And then the crazy thing about it, our superintendent, Justin Jennings, told me the same thing. Because he played for Gene Katie.
Yeah, he did, down at Purdue.
He said, Gene Katie always said when we used to play Tom Izzo, like, just keep the game close. He'll coach himself out the game.
Wow. Is that something?
That's the meal. That's the rumor meal on him. That's sad. I'm a Michigan State alumni, but I done heard that from one, two people. Then the third person was Ray Williams, but then the third person was not around, but it said Dean Katie's passed that message to two people.
Well, I know one thing he said the other night. He said, if it's down to the last shot and it's 7 seconds to go into the game, we don't call timeout.
He didn't.
He said, we're going down for the shot. And I thought, okay, that's how you
he
do
did.
It. And
he did.
And he did. Yeah. But you know what would have happened with old boy? He'd have made that timeout, try to set up an inbounds play, get him a chance to set their defense. No, I like the philosophy.
And then that's, you know what that is? That's Ray Williams being around, the Jerry Stackhouses, Sam Perkins, James Worthy, being like, look, man, you ain't got to stop this. I'm cold. Give me the ball.
If we got an advantage when we headed down the floor, we'll find it.
And that point guard,
we'll find it. We'll get the ball to the right guy, and we're gonna settle this thing before the game is over.
Man, you sell it with .3 on the clock. Everybody looking like we don't got no chance to get no shot off. It's over, man.
Oh man, I just love to watch. You know the North Carolinas, the Kentucky, the Kansas, the Duke. Those teams, man. I just love watching basketball.
Couple teams get a lucky year. But those names are around forever.
Yeah, that Sweet 16 and that Elite Eight is the teams that from every year though they show up. They make it that mix. They make the mix.
Like I call them the like if you look at like the Ten Commandments of basketball, them 10 teams, they the law. You got you're always gonna have North Carolina there. You're always gonna have Duke there. You're always gonna have Kansas there.
Kentucky.
Who else is some more?
You can throw in.
Thomas has been consistent on the last 20 years.
I'm gonna give him a pass on that.
Yeah, because he got the most Final Four appearances.
Yeah,
in 16, the Big Ten, like 8. So him, then it's 5 more. And you got who else out of the other 5? They always.
You got to go with Louisville.
Louisville,
yeah. Louisville Kino's in the mix. Yeah. UCLA's.
Yep. Always. Yep. It's synonymous. They always somewhere.
You know, Xavier has always been right there.
Yeah.
They're not that premier team yet, but
they always be there.
But you know, there's that 10, and like you say, you can pick a 10 and get there. Wisconsin.
Yeah, they always do.
Out of the Big Ten, it's like they just show up.
Michigan is bouncing back.
They had a good recruiting year too.
Yeah, they did.
From what I understand. Yeah, and they got rid of old guy over at Indiana. I thought he was overrated anyway. Old Tom Crean. So.
Yeah, that's my guy though. I like Tom Crean.
Tom, he something
started
else,
out
man.
At Michigan State, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I loved him.
Yeah, he a wild guy, man. He absolutely go crazy on that sideline.
He loved a small guard. When I was there at school, he liked us.
Just wasn't the right fit.
Yeah, it wasn't the right fit.
That wasn't the right fit for him. They thought he could make it in Indy, but he can't.
They thought they wanted him to play. He wanted to play small, fast ball.
Mid-major. He needed to go to a mid-major school.
Back where he was at.
And settle in, make a name for himself, make that run every two or three, four years. And he'll be all right.
Get that big recruit and build what you want to build. And he'll get another job somewhere.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. He's in the fraternity.
You know how Tom Izzo is. He'll call him back.
Right. He'll get an assistant job somewhere.
Tom Izzo will call him right back.
A lot of jobs is open. Yep. Just ain't hit the board yet.
Yeah, that's it. So he's a good coach, so I like
him. Yeah.
So that's what it is. Then New Haven won the Class B, right?
Well, that was really interesting to see when I watched New Haven play Ludington.
Ludington, I'm proud of Thad. Coach Thad, he's a deserving, hard worker. I just know that I used to go up to Ludington, we used to get cheated. So all them losses don't count. Like, man, it's like that team's super good up in Ludington.
They unbeatable in Ludington.
Like, what the referees graduated from there or something?
Yeah, you get up there on US 10.
Like, they look at you like, coach better. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's what the
we got me down 20-3 fouls.
Right. And imbalancing fouls. Come on, they're not that good.
Yeah, so Ludington, I'm proud he finally got up out the woods.
Yeah, he did good. West Michigan, he represented. Yep. That was the only thing that we had other than Grand Rapids Christian.
Yep.
That was really up there.
He beat my boys from River Rouge.
River Rouge, man.
I was shocked that he beat them.
I was too. Didn't expect that.
He hit a buzzer beater, though. So.
Yep. Kept it close.
Overtime and some turnovers happened late, and that's what happened.
Kept it close,
so
man.
Harbor got knocked out by New Haven. Who did we looking at what? Class C now?
That was Class C.
Yeah, that was Class C.
Yeah, because the Class D game, this team, they had a kid. He had played football.
Southfield. That's what
it wasn't Southfield, man. It was.
Southfield, they usually lost to Class C or the Class D champion because, we got somebody from this area, their son played on the team.
Well, this team, the kid had lost in all of his 3 years in football and basketball, this kid lost one game. He won 3 state championships in football and 3 state championships in basketball.
Where you going to college?
And lost one game, man. I wish I could remember that kid's name or the name of that school.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Talk.
Yeah, they talked about that at the game, man. That was like history. The schools, who were they schools? Class D. It was Class D, though. It's 8-man football, too, so let's not get too excited about that.
You're right.
You know, 8-man football is for the schools that have low enrollment. And that's sort of like the Big Ten and the MAC. So.
You're right.
But still, that's an amazing feat for
a
kid to play.
You got the pieces.
3 years in high school and only lose one game in football and basketball and win championships. You have to take your hat off to them.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So what we got today, we talk about the sports and build the March Madness. So
we get excited about that, man.
Yep.
Hope our audience, we didn't bore you with that,
that
conversation, but we do get excited.
Yeah, we like that. I like that stuff. I like to see the kids getting it in. And it's hard work being put in and time and effort to see those teams make it there and either win or don't win. It's just the principle of putting the hard work and the discipline in and, getting that one shining moment.
Yeah, you get some breaks along the way. When you're good, you still got to be lucky on that journey. So, but, we're going to get into talking about some financial stuff.
That's right. Last time we went over the first 5, we had the 70 ways to build wealth, and we only on number 6.
Number 6, right.
Yeah, we did the first 5 last time. Last time we talked about the prison stock raising and how Donald Trump and how that stock went up almost $25.
Almost overnight.
Almost overnight. It was like 4 months. I know I made some money, so that was was good.
Steady, and it's steady going up. Like I say, man, it's still not too late to get in. For our listeners that want to buy stock.
Yeah, it's time.
Yeah.
First things first, number six, it says polish your credit.
Can't never talk about that too much.
Polish your credit. Polish your credit. Polish your credit. It's just so serious. Things like lower interest rate, best terms on a credit card, mortgages, or other loans. Your credit history may even affect your job prospects, insurance rates, and ability to get an apartment or a cell phone plan. I was talking to a guy a couple of weeks ago. He went to state, he's a young guy, and he works for an apartment complex, and he does all the credit stuff with them. And he said people come in and they think they can get the apartment. And he tell them, like, no, you only can afford a one bedroom. He's like, oh, I'll make this much a month. He's like, well, your credit history say that you don't pay.
How did he find that out?
Or because there's certain numbers that you hit that let show certain loyalty. Like, when you ask, like, 720, good credit.
Yeah.
So when you get, like, 680, you still good. 660, you all right. 650, you all right. You gonna have some little hiccups. But now you start getting closer to that 600 number, you start becoming subprime.
Yes.
Or you having too much debt-to-income ratio. So then now it's an issue with the lenders. And I know in
life. Become a risk.
Yeah, and life happens, though. Life happens.
Yes.
But I can tell the audience like this. If you remove from life happiness in a year, they'll give you opportunity.
Because
they want to see a 12-month period where you held it down.
Right.
So that make a lot of sense. I was
it does.
Dealing with something today and just going over credit can entail a lot, like from your debts, your student loans and things like that. And a lot of times you get situations where you think it's going to go away. But if you want to advance your life and you think about growth plans and setting goals, Tony, man, that's one of the biggest things, that credit. It's just like getting lower interest rates are so important than just being able to buy what you want to buy and do it when you can and not have to shuck and jive and go around and do something that's
right, and settle for less, you know, and have to go somewhere you don't really want to go. And, you know, it's an interesting concept when you talk about credit and financial status, if you will. You take an individual that we'll say he's a millionaire and pays all his bills on time. And when he goes to shop for insurance, for instance.
Okay.
His rates are going to be ridiculously low, all right? But you would think, well, he's a millionaire. He can afford, if anybody can, he can afford to pay the higher rates. Well, it doesn't work that way. They actually give those guys the lower rates for insurance because they assume so much of their own risk.
That's right. And they're going to buy, and I know this, they're going to buy the better car.
Yep, they're going to buy the better car, and they're going to pay cash for it.
Yep.
And they don't even use insurance, you know, and, you know, they're not reckless in their lifestyles, very rarely. And the insurance company looked at these guys and said, you know what? These guys ain't even a risk. There might be a situation where he has a fender bender and look at it and say, you know what? I'm not going to turn this into my insurance company. I'm going to pay for it out of my pocket. I don't have to pay any money.
I'm not rich.
I'm just paying a few dollars for my insurance coverage. I wanted somebody to come along and steal my car or whatever. And these folks are the ones that pay the smaller amount in premiums than people with bad credit. People with bad credit pay 3, 4, 5 times more than millionaires do.
But I can't even imagine paying. We got 2 cars, insurance over our property stuff. I think we pay like $165.
It's a good rate. Good rate. Good credit. Good credit.
That's good credit.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, we got the mimic too. But in the same capacity, I've dealt with other people like, yeah, I'm paying this much a month. I'm like, what? Man, throw the whole car away.
You got horror stories, man. And, you know, the unfortunate part about this whole insurance thing and car thing.
And then we're in a no-fault state like you said last week.
Oh, gosh. That's horrible. But I get people call me up and say, hey, I just bought a car yesterday and I need to get insurance.
Man, they got to take like right that whole car away.
It's like, okay, this is not going to turn out good.
Man, it's not.
Because
you did the wrong thing already.
Yeah.
You bought a car and then you came to the insurance person.
Now you're going to go look for insurance and find out the insurance costs more than a monthly note on the car, though, because you got bad credit and you went to a predatory lender. And it's like you are in a no-win situation.
You stuck. Ah.
And like I say, if you got 3 days in the state of Michigan to rescind a contract,
you better send it back.
Go back to that dealership, say, hey, I can't afford this car. Unfortunately, you can't financially do it. Regardless of what, how you, you know, finagle through your mind, okay, if I do this or I do that, it's not going to work.
You don't want that stress.
$700-$800 a month tied up in a car note and insurance, not a good move. You know, and you're making $10, $12 an hour, and you got all these other kind of living expenses. No, get the insurance first. You can go to anybody and get a quote prior to purchasing a car. Do not sign for a car until you have secured insurance.
You're right. So the next one is set specific goals. Specific goals and plan to reach them. Short-term goals like paying off a debt, buying a house, saving for a rainy day vacation. It helps you build what we call wealth or retirement, or like you call it all the time, Tony, a slush fund.
Yeah.
Having that money there. And say if you get blessed, somebody say, I want to take you on a vacation. You're like, oh, I was saving for that. And I got this money over here now. And somebody taking me on a vacation because of blessings and things that you've been doing. So
okay, it happens.
It happens. Doors open up in that capacity too. So just by creating that slush fund for a Christmas holiday or whatever, where you got
rainy
money,
day, unexpected emergencies.
Building on that. And I know that's something we're working on right now. My wife been telling me, like, you care about the community so much, you need to start planning for a vacation. I said, that was your job when you got married. You said you was going to do the vacation. So,
I like it.
You know, that's her job to make sure we go on vacation every year and make sure that the money come out of my pocket still. But that's the whole concept of just, you know, short-term goal setting and something you want to do. And I never think it's a waste when you travel and it's paid
for.
No,
it's not.
When it's paid for, you need those experiences.
You do. You know, when you've sacrificed over the years to get into a financial situation where, yeah, now we can afford to take vacations because we've worked hard. We have sacrificed and did without things in order to get our finances in order. And trust me, those are the fruits of your labor. You know, take that vacation, get away, recharge your batteries, and get back to that plan. You know, when you get back from vacation, you recharge, energize, go back, refine your plan to make sure that in the next year or another 2 years, we can still take another vacation.
Yeah, you're right. And they're not expensive. You plan them out early, six to eight months early, it's going to be a cheap vacation. So it's just little short-term goals like that and just planning. They got all these programs out. I know somebody called me the other day. I can't remember the name of it. My attorney was like, I want you to join this vacation package where you just have vacation every year just be set aside for you.
He said,
just
vacation club.
Yeah. And he said you can pick whatever you want to go and just pay your money every out of these paychecks to this amount. And then you have four or five locations you can go to that's paid and all-inclusive. I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So he's getting ready to show me that and sit me down. So I'm going to have to probably bring that on the radio and talk about that when good. I had that interview with him. But
it's good, man. That's what I'm getting ready
right now.
To
he's
do.
He's in the mountains, Stone Mountain.
Oh, yeah, Stone Mountain, Georgia.
He looked tired in the mug, too, with his kids. So he's been doing a vacation.
Great, man. That's what it's about.
He's about to run him into the ground, but I seen him on a picture today. He's like, he's taking advantage of those vacations right now.
So mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to take my sons. And, he drove, though. He could have got a van. He drove, even though the hotel and everything paid for in a resort. But it's like, he just wanted to drive because he going to several places.
Right. You know what I like to do when we drive? Yeah. I like to check out find out where the best barbecue spot is in Memphis. Find out where the best spot in Louisville is and Knoxville and, the way, man. Yeah. Find out where some of them good eating spots is and go in, sit down and enjoy yourself.
Get out,
relax.
Get it in good.
Yeah, that's what a vacation is for, man. Yeah, the driving
is
all right.
That's what he said. He said he got it all mapped out and everything. And
you know, we need to take that same concept when it comes to our financial decisions. You don't take a vacation
on credit
and not plan it.
Okay. You don't take a vacation on
and
credit.
And you don't take it on credit. Okay? But, you know, you use that same mentality to say we need to plan out our finances for the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years down the road. It's the same way you would do with a vacation. Because rarely do you leave home and go on a vacation and have no destination in mind. There are folks that do, but the average person don't do that.
Yeah, listen to this one. You always talk about this. You've been getting on me about it. Live like the invisible rich. It says, live within and ideally below your means. By resisting the temptation to buy a big house or expensive cars, you can invest in things that will create long-term wealth, such as stocks and real estate. So you,
man, I'm telling you,
it's the
truth, man.
I'm on it. So things are paid off, and we're walking right into that. And we're just looking at the seeds right now. I'm paying attention. No new nothing. And like you said, when you had an excess there, make sure you already got a plan for the excess.
Right.
And you were thinking about the plan. I call it a growth plan.
It's it. That's what it is. Saying,
what's the next step with this money? Because there ain't going to be no new cars coming in this house. I already laid that down.
Why?
You know, it's time for real estate and it's time for investments. So that's the next
grow step. Your grow money, plan. Man. Let your money, work for you.
That's it. So okay. We're not getting no younger.
No. No, you're not getting young. And, you know, planning for retirement. Okay? This is what, at your age, that's what you need to do. Plan for retirement. And you don't wait till you get to be 60 and you're going to retire at 62 and say, okay, I think I'm ready to start planning. It's not going to turn out good. Guarantee you. You need 30 years, 35 years to plan. So when you retire, you don't have to go back to work.
You're right. And some people,
a lot of folks do.
Yeah, they do. You're right.
You know, go back to work for something to do, but it's not because you need money.
All right. Next one is cultivate your career. Keep your skills sharp. Never stop networking.
Mm-hmm.
And update your LinkedIn profile. It's critical because most employers use the website to vet potential candidates. I know I done have people contact me on there a lot of times. Even for jobs, like teaching jobs. People contact me in like Atlanta, New York, Chicago. I get inboxes all the time. Like, yeah, we'd love to have what you're doing down here or there. And I just got it on there. So I just look at it like, wow, this is opportunity still coming to me. And I'm not saying I'm content, but I see that guy got me working in a purpose right now in this community and doing several things where I'm building and seeing the fruits of it happen. That it probably wouldn't happen anywhere else because the growth plan been put down here. But like you always say, you never know.
You never know.
You never know.
And
so
that opportunity will come one day. When you least expect it, somebody going to call you up and say, hey, man, we need an administrator, and we're going to double your salary. If not, we're going to, you know, triple your salary.
You never know.
And we need you to come on down here. And you're going to be like,
let's go.
What's the address?
Yeah.
Okay, because so I'm going.
Know. You never know. So that's the whole thing. So make sure that you're always cultivating your career. Going back to school, the community college offers career training classes, trades you can pick up. Things you can pick up that don't require 15 weeks. You know, you can get two or 3 weeks, and you can have
a some certification.
A certification or a skill set added to your resume. So there's just things to look at, or going to graduate school, or just building, because people that make most of the money are either in working with money or they're working with another level of education. So you got to look at that. So just being able to have a trade or something can add to you and can make the situation better.
You know, even in a, let's say for a factory job, okay, say the guy, he's working assembly line or whatever, and he decides to take a class out at the college to be a welder or start taking pipe fitting type courses. Somewhere in that organization, believe me, there are jobs that require that skill level. And being that you're already in the organization.
The welding one especially.
Yeah, you provide them with the credentials. And if when a job opens up, they're going to say, we're going to take this guy. Why? Because the guy understands the equipment. He understands the process flow of the manufacturing facility. So he's going to be a perfect fit versus us trying to go out and find the guy, hire him and bring him in and teach him how all this works. This guy already know it. Okay. All you did is went and invested in yourself to develop a skill. It might be, you know, whatever, man, heating and air conditioning. Because most of these places have some form of air conditioning or some form of heating. And you just never know. But like you said, you need to be prepared when that opportunity comes
up. Right. This next one right here, I remember buying a home when you're ready. That's a serious one. It says owning a home is one of the best ways to build wealth.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still lock in low mortgage rates. And, you know, Uncle Sam offers lower mortgage rates. But then if you're the type of person that got 20% to put down on a home, you avoid that property insurance thing, you know, where it's they're going to tax you and that private mortgage insurance.
Yeah, that private mortgage insurance is big.
That's a big thing. So if you're able to, and then that gives you, if you can have 20% down, you can have more house for your buck, more value, or you probably can buy in a different neighborhood that's safer.
Yep.
So a lot of times people think, I got a house. They let me buy a house. Don't be so excited about just saying you got a house. You got to really think about it. Because some things we've been researching since we've been here is like, location is very important.
Yes, it is.
And what you want to do with it. Like, what I've noticed is we don't have opportunities to buy homes, but I was like, I'm not a home guy. And then the condos I seen, either they was too small or they wasn't.
It may have been too expensive.
Or too expensive. Like, being able to say, I want a certain townhome. Well, when I first moved back, a certain town how I want it, I went in that income bracket.
Mm-hmm.
But see, now I'm moving towards that income bracket. I'm like, oh, I can do that, and I have a certain amount of savings, and I'm ready. But then I didn't know I was going to be here that long. So buying a home, it can be, when you're ready, can be really important.
Don't
get
excited.
It's about getting, like, I got a house, and then you're in a high crime area.
High crime area. And you got to be somewhat mechanical,
yes,
okay? Because every time something happens in your house, you can't call up a contractor, all right? You got to be able to know how to fix a faucet.
That's right. You got to be able to
okay.
go on YouTube something, do
right.
something.
You got to be able to maintain your house without having to be at the mercy of contractors to come in and fix something every time it goes wrong.
That's right. I was this weekend I was with one of the guys I mentor. He just bought his first home. And he's showing me around the house. And as he's showing me around the house, they bought this home. It ain't had nothing in it. It was terrible. But it's in a real nice neighborhood in Grand Rapids, right? And he done put drywall up, new kitchen, everything. But like you said, he's a man.
He's mechanical.
And pencil. He put new countertops in, new refrigerator. And he's like, trying to see all my money going this.
Mm-hmm. That's an investment.
He said, we got one car. All my money going to this. He said, that car note that I post my paying every month, it's going in his house.
Yeah. Say he bought that house for $45,000. He's going to put another $30,000-$40,000 in it, and it raised the value to $150,000-$160,000.
And it's in a nice neighborhood.
That's so how you make your money.
He's doing a great job. And I remember when he first got it, he asked me, I was like, man, I said, I wish I could buy a home in a neighborhood like this.
Mm-hmm. Location.
He found the right location. It's right next to a church. When I was over there, the pastor wife came over to ask to borrow a hammer.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, look at you. I'm like, you got the pastor wife coming over to ask to borrow tools. The congregation coming over, like, hey, we want to know, can we borrow this for you? We working on here. Hey, how y'all doing?
Okay. You
know, him and his fiance the other day. I'm like, wow, look at that. People from the church coming to the open door.
Yeah, they're going
to
look out for him, too.
You're welcome.
They're going to look out for him.
So you're welcome in this community when you got the church folk coming to your house asking for a hammer.
Right. They going over
in a blessed neighborhood, bro.
Yeah, because see, they can't pay everybody to fix everything either. Yeah. You know, they
gotta
go
they know
fix
you got
all their stuff.
They know you were working on your house.
They're watching him.
They watching you.
Watching him. His brother, yeah. He got it going on.
Yeah, he got it going. So I'm proud of him and everything. I'm gonna keep his name away because you know a lot of times he was like, where does this person live at? You know, you never know. So
But that's a good story.
Yeah,
man.
But it's a good story to seeing somebody grow and blossom into those things. And I would consider him lucky being in a neighborhood like that. I'm looking for something like that myself, being able to be somewhere with a pastor come to your door.
Okay.
Hey, can I borrow a hammer? I'm like, we just chilling.
Looking out for you.
Yeah, and looking out for you like that. So
that's great.
That's just good things. And like you said, these topics are pretty long, man. We only did about what?
We'll be here the whole summer, but that's okay.
Yep.
We want our audience to get this information, man.
That's it, man. That's it. So we want to make sure we're planting the right seeds in our community and we can grow financially. I just got a vision early. I got to call my guy that does my marketing because I want to put out some audio or something for everybody to hear, but get a case or something for them to see what we're trying to put in their mind, to plan in their mind. So it's something
good.
So I'm gonna let you know what we're gonna do.
And I know I've gotten great feedback from the community. You know, people say, man, I listen to the show every week. Good information. Like what you guys are doing. Please keep it up. And that's our reward. We don't get paid for this. We volunteer our time, our services.
When I see clients I've helped and I know that what we've done for them financially or like student loans or like people see me on the street. You got a book on you? I'm like, yeah, I got something on you. And he's like, you know you get away for free. I said, yeah, I am. I'm like,
yeah, you told online. Them that.
So they've been getting me. I done gave away 30 books on site, people seeing me. So I think when you saw me yesterday, I was giving the guy a book.
Right,
like,
sure was.
I was leveraged, man, just trying to make sure I spread the right seeds and plant them in my community. And, you know, just seeing you. I was talking about you before you walked in.
Walked in, okay.
Yeah, look at that guy, dude. It was like, man.
That's
like,
it,
yeah,
man.
I work with a guy named Tony Williams. He does what you do, and he's a good people. You need to meet him.
So right.
That was good things going
on.
Yeah,
it seemed like a really nice guy, too, man. Yep. It's great that you network with all kind of folks.
Yep, it don't matter.
Okay.
You could be purple, green, turquoise.
Don't matter, man.
You could be from Gilligan's Island.
Right.
Or
the Mars.
Mars. Wherever you want to be from, I'm going to talk to you because I know that one of my mentors told me green
is the motivator.
It's a motivator, and it's a common color and a common language that
common
everybody
denominator.
Speaks.
You know? That's right.
So I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.